Hello. Happy Wednesday, everybody. This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd on ArtSpeak Radio on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in with us or listening online at kkfi.org. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Want to give a shout out to my dogs who are listening. Yay. And my mom. Well, these things matter. Today, we've got a terrific group of people on the show today, live in the studio at the KKFI studio. Elaine McMillan, who's a vocalist, writer from Independence, Missouri. We have Julia Valdivia, who is the owner of KC Conjure Shop. And last but not least, we have the wonderful and talented Mark Allen, performance artist here today in the studio, and we're going to wish him a happy birthday a little bit later on. Yay, because it's his birthday tomorrow. So let's get started. We're going to talk with Elaine McMillan. As I mentioned, she is a vocalist and writer from Independence, Missouri. She sang her first solo at age 5 and continues to perform a variety of musical genres as a solo artist and also in various groups. She self-produced 2 albums of original songs, Insomnia and The Messenger. McMillan received a BA in English Creative Writing from the University of Missouri, Kansas City. She writes essays and poems, which can be found on her blog along the way, and is working on a memoir. Welcome, my friend.
Good morning, Maria.
It's just been too long since I last saw you.
It has.
Well, I should back up. I saw you Friday at the poetry reading. But you know, even then, we don't really get around to seeing each other very much. So I'm always happy to see you.
Thank you for having me.
So you, you continue to sing, but lately you've been kind of delving into your writing, right?
Definitely. I had always thought that as I got older and I wasn't performing as much music, that then I would start to focus again on my writing. Yeah. And I was one of those people. Even in junior high, I wrote poems, and I'm sure they were, world-changing. But but I've always had that inclination to write and to read. I've always been a big reader and just a creative person in general. So when I went to UMKC, at first I was a psychology major. And then I was taking English and writing classes, and I decided that those people were healthier because they were writing about their their lives and about things that were going on. And I think that writing serves an important purpose for people to share their story, for people to relate to each other through their stories. Mm-hmm. And so after college, I got in a band and eventually parlayed my writing into songwriting. So I did that for a number of years. But lately, I haven't been performing very much. And so I've just been working a lot on my poetry and really focusing on learning about writing, the craft of writing, associating with writers. I think it's really important for people to look around and find their people. Absolutely. Is inspiring, and so that's what I'm doing in my life right now.
Yeah, because when I first met you, I know you were performing with a lot of local bands here in town. One of them brought Jason Beers, a banjo player, and a number of Brannock Device.
The Brannock Device, which is an awesome punk band, and also I was in Easter Day for several years. With Scott Easterday, and who wrote the music, and it was thrilling. I've had a wonderful time with music performing. I hosted a lot of songwriter shows. I really want to support creativity and support artists. Mm-hmm. I think people have within them this innate desire to get things out. And I think we limit ourselves by thinking, I'm not going to be famous, or who's going to listen or read this, but that's not what's important. I think what's important is for people to allow themselves to learn and grow with their art and to produce.
And I think to connect with others in a way, whether it's music or words or just the very act of creating.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, you brought some work to share.
I did.
Today, so,
I did.
Yeah, I would love to hear from
you. Are you ready for the song?
You tell me. Let's do the song first.
All right. Yeah. Well, you inspired me. I do still work on music, even though I haven't been performing much. And I know the solar eclipse is coming up.
I
was doing some reading about the sun and the moon. And so I've written a song about the sun for Maria.
I love that. Thank you.
are gloomy, some days are sad. Some days you want to stay in bed. Your head feels heavy, I stay closed. Pull up the blanket, hide in a hole. Find the sun, let it lift you up. Like a flower, lean toward the light. Sunshine power sustains all life. Find the sun, find the sun. When you feel low, don't know what to do. Many worries weigh down on you. You're feeling lonely, feeling mighty blue. Wish for some magic to pull you through. Find the sun, let it lift you up. Like a flower leans toward the light. Sunshine power sustains all life. Find the sun, find the sun. It shines for me. It shines for you. It shines for me. It shines for you. Open the curtains, look to the east. Feel your face warm with heat. The sun awakens you, makes energy. Fills the body with what you need. Find the sun, let it lift you up. Like a flower leans toward the light. Sunshine's power sustains all life. Find the sun, find the sun, find the sun, find the sun.
Oh, I love that. Thank you, Elaine.
Well, just for you.
I haven't been performing much, so... Oh, bless your
shaking
heart.
Shaking like a leaf, but...
No.
Thank you for the inspiration of writing about something.
Well, and I love that, you know, what you surround yourself with, you know, in the environment or friends or different energies, that it can really inspire your creative, you know, juices, and that's terrific. I love that. I'm going to play that again and again. It's you know, look, I got some tears in my eyes. No, it's really beautiful.
We need that.
We need you in our lives, so thank you. You know, I have to mention that one of the times that Elaine and I were, I know you're going to read this. We were together and in Independence. I think we had a little lunch and everything. Both had our ukuleles with us and went into a coffee shop. And then what happened, Elaine?
And they came over and told us, you're not welcome here. You can't play those in here. And it was a place that has music. So I guess
I
we thought, oh, here we are. We've got our ukuleles. We're just going to, you know, jam. And so was it raining or what, did we just, we were looking for a place, so we just went and hunkered down in Maria's little Volkswagen Beetle playing our ukuleles like we felt like drug addicts or something, like, we're going to play.
It was hilarious. But we vowed to come back with banjos and baritones and, you know, bassoons and...
Sure.
Whatever else.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Every week we should go in there with something, like we're going to perform.
We'll get that Jason Beers in his banjo.
Oh, yeah. That would be so exciting.
No, that was so much fun. But, you know, I'm happy that you are creating music and creating words. And then you wanted to share some of your work with us, too.
Sure.
And I can tell people that you are listening to ArtSpeak Radio. This is Elaine McMillan, who's a vocalist and writer from Independent Center. And she also has a blog and along the way and is working on a memoir. So you're going to share some of your poems.
I brought
us
a couple of poems.
Terrific.
This morning. And one of the things that I feel drawn to do with my writing is I really want to share my experiences. I've had a lot of loss in my life, and so have other people, and I want to be mm-hmm. able to talk to people about that and to write things that I think are meaningful about that. So this poem is called Unexpected. I didn't expect the snow when stepping out for a morning walk, hoping fresh air might clear my cobwebbed head. Big white snowflakes lightly touch my face and hair. I didn't expect to cry, watering eyes from the cold blend into sorrow. Today is the birthday of my firstborn son. I don't like grieving on this day. My head tilts back, snowflakes alight on my waiting tongue, as I ponder the miracle of life, finality of death, and all that came between. I didn't know the snow would comfort me.
Wow, I love that. Yeah, that's really beautiful.
You worry. I think everyone who creates art worries that, am I any good? Am I good enough? But mm-hmm. I think you learn. I feel like I'm on a writing journey of learning. Mm-hmm. I'm reading poets, and I'm attending events like mm-hmm. your event mm-hmm. you had on Friday. And I think that it's important just to express yourself and continue mm-hmm. to work.
Mm-hmm. Well,
to continue to work.
Yeah, as I mentioned, you know, I think you're inspired by other people, you know, their work, their writing, and all that. I know certainly some readings that I've attended where the subject matter or the words that I heard used, turn around and use them as a prompt. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Which is what I did with The Sunshine. I used that as a prompt.
I love
and
that.
Something that's always really bothered me as a singer and a musician is I have so many people tell me that someone told them when they were young that they couldn't sing or made fun of their singing, and so mm-hmm. they don't sing because someone squelched their...
Yeah.
But everyone needs to sing. It doesn't matter if you have perfect pitch or whatever. Everyone needs to, you know, express themselves how they feel inclined to
You're
do
right
so.
About that,
so,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone has the music inside of them, whether it's, you know, words or actual music, you know,
or
art.
Or dancing or movement or just going out and appreciating nature, whatever their thing is. I just encourage people to do whatever they're inspired to do.
Yeah.
To follow their inner motivation and do it.
And sometimes I think we sort of trap ourselves in that, well, I can't do that. I've never written a poem before.
Absolutely.
You know, I think you just, you know, we set sometimes those limitations on ourselves.
Oh, sure. If you sit down and you write something, then you've written something.
Yeah.
So I think that's important.
Well, darn it, I'm going to be the best architect there is.
Yeah, you go. You do it.
No, I love that. Please share another
piece. Okay, I have another poem. And this one is called Bedtime Ritual. The bedtime ritual begins at 7 p.m. Brush teeth, put on pajamas, read a story, maybe two, turn on a halo of nightlights, rainbow, ladybug, whale, and flower in residence above her pillow. One last drink of milk, settle in under the covers, eyes close, breath slows, Daddy begins to sing. It's all over now, baby blue. Sweet child of mine. Or I will. Songs imprinted from his childhood.
Terrific. Those are just wonderful. Now, Elaine, as you were reading that, I was thinking, I wonder if she has like a children's book plan, you know, because, you know, I'm getting a lot of the visuals,
sure.
And it's just very sweet. It's very
thanks.
Beautiful.
I have written a song, a lullaby for the girls, and I have some things like that, so...
In the works.
It could happen.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Because I like to tell people what to do, you know, because I'm not doing it myself.
Well, thank you. And most of us are happy for someone to guide us that way. So thank you.
You know, I would like for you to share the blog, the website or information where our listeners can find out more about
yes, your
work.
You can find me at my name, ElaineMcMillan.net. And that's McMillan has one L and two I's. It's always really tricky. But my blog is called Along the Way, and I've just started it. It's something that was a goal of mine this year,
yeah.
So I could check that off of my list. And I've posted two essays so far that are just about things that have happened to me in my life. And I plan to post my poetry and the different things that I'm writing there.
And then you're also working on a memoir, right?
I am working on a memoir about my mother. And the interesting thing about it was after she died a few years ago, I had taken her hope chest, and I one day opened and looked in the hope chest, and among many other surprising things in there, I found a tiny little notebook where she had written what she called her life story. And
wow.
The very first line in the book said, "I never knew my mother." And my mom was adopted. She was one of the Depression children mm-hmm. who was separated. Her mother had died, and her dad couldn't take care of them, and she and her sisters were separated. And this was a lifelong theme for her mm-hmm. and something mm-hmm. that she talked to me. I was the oldest child and her daughter, and I often felt more like a mother than a child. So it was hard for me to read that notebook. It's not
imagine.
Pleasant.
Yeah,
and I put
imagine.
It away for quite a while. But recently I got it out, and I've been looking at it, and I've been writing and adding my own memories to her. So it's almost mm-hmm. maybe a double memoir. And I'm not sure where it's going, but it's turned into chapters. And so
I love that.
And so through that, it's caused me to do a lot of investigating and discovering about my family history. And I found her mother's birth certificate. Her name was Bessie Bell, which I think is charming.
Oh,
and so just looking yeah. at and thinking about how we connect in the world, she always said that she felt like she came out from under a rock. And I think that's a sad way to feel. And mm-hmm. We mm-hmm. all want to feel connected to humanity. And so that's
yeah.
kind of that's the motivation of the memoir.
You know, and that's really tough to hear. Came out from under a rock, but she came out from underneath that rock.
Mm-hmm.
And that is powerful in itself, although it is still a very sad reference.
It know. Is. But, you know, I was thinking just this morning, my mother wasn't a writer, but you know what? She decided to write down her little story in this notebook. And
yeah.
in it, for instance, I discovered how my parents met. I never knew that. And so then I think, gosh, I bet my kids would like to know how I met their dad. And, you know, there's things like that that I think we don't think to share.
But it's interesting because as you're discovering that, the things that you didn't know about your parents or your mother, it takes me back to that first line in her journal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never knew
yep,
my mother.
I never knew my mother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Do you have snippets of that memoir or that you can share with us?
I
or
do.
And is it on your blog?
Here. Well, so far I'm calling it the small big life story of Emma Ruth, her words and mm-hmm. mine. And mm-hmm. that's my mother's name is Emma Ruth.
But I do like the name Bessie Bell.
Here we go. So this is near the end of chapter one. On the green shelf next to the baby shoes, I noticed a small spiral-ringed notebook, the kind you keep in your pocket or purse to write a list or jot notes to self. On the cover was a cartoon drawing of the Rugrats, a popular kids' cartoon program in the 1990s. The Rugrats are babies that talk and have wild adventures. A gold sticker placed sideways on the cover advertises Cake Creations by Peggy Inc., with an address in Buckner, Missouri, a small town east of Independence. My brother Blake lived in Buckner for a few years, so maybe she got the notebook from him, or maybe she picked it up during one of her regular garage sale excursions. I opened the cover and immediately recognized my mother's handwriting. It's similar to my own handwriting, even and straight, but pointy and old-fashioned. At the top of the first page, above the lines, like a title, she wrote, "Started this spring 2001," followed by, "I was born Emma Ruth Holt on May 23, 1934. The text began on the first line, indented like a paragraph. "I have no memory of my mother. I don't remember anything about her." And just that quickly, my heart broke for her all over again. This was the ongoing theme of her life, the thing that defined her most, that she didn't know or remember her birth mother. She often described herself and her feelings of disconnect with humanity as having been born under a rock. By 2001, at the time she started writing this accounting of her life, she herself was a mother of four, with five grandchildren and two great-grandchildren. Still, the very first thought that surfaced as she started writing her life story was about her long-lost mother.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. I want to read more.
I've never read that out loud
before. Wow. Very powerful. Well, Elaine, we're going to wind that down here. Is there anything that I need to mention that I haven't, or did you want to, did I miss anything?
You haven't missed a single thing.
Oh, bless your heart.
I want to talk about Brave Voice, which is a workshop I went to in May. Mm-hmm. It's run by Kelly Hunt and Karen Miriam Goldberg. Uh-huh. And it's a wonderful writing retreat that lasts 6 days, and it's for men and women. And it's just full of ways to get into your writing and prompts. And I also took a couple of memoir writing workshops with Patrick Dobson, who's a dear friend a fantastic writer. So if you haven't read his two books, you should check them out right now because he's wonderful. So again, I would just say to people to find your people and learn your craft and live life.
Be brave.
Be brave, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much. And I'm going to have you on again.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
I love to talk on the radio. Thank you.
We love you, Elaine. And we're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio right after this. Hello and welcome back to Art Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd, and up next we have the lovely and talented Mark Allen, who's celebrating a birthday tomorrow. So happy birthday tomorrow from Trudy Pickles and Winnie Belladonna, my friend Mark Allen. you bet. And as a surprise, I went around the house and scrunched up some stuff. It's like, oh, it's too late to buy him anything. So
things only an artist would love.
Yeah, you know, who doesn't love?
I need a new blade. Uno cards are great. I don't have a pack of Uno cards.
You weren't supposed to have the Uno cards. I need those back, honey. and a glow-in-the-dark caterpillar.
Yes, who doesn't need one of those?
So we're going to talk about Solat Noir, which is a collection of events hosted in the Crossroads Art District of Kansas City. And it's in preparation for the Great American Solar Eclipse cutting across our nation August 21st. That's on a Monday. Mural artists will be traveling from around the country and the world to transform the Crossroads into the next great American art hub. There's going to be art exhibitions, performances, musical acts, events. I believe there's going to be a fashion show. And it's also going to open up your show, Faces, Mark Allen and Kat Moss. And so we've got so much to talk about. So welcome, my friend Mark Allen.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been a while.
You bet. Yeah, it's been I think last
it's good
time.
To be back in Kansas City.
We love that you're back in Kansas City. So you've got so much going on. Where do we start?
Well, I think I'll start from a year and a half ago when I was living in Los Angeles and I heard about the Great American Solar Eclipse and how St. Joe, I had some family in St. Joe, and they were saying that all the hotels were already booked out, plans were already underway, people, I heard that there was a Japanese group that rented out the entire parking lot of Menards, apparently, and so a whole crew of people coming from Japan just to see this Great American Solar Eclipse, and so I started doing research to see what the big deal was all about, and turns out there's people from all over the world who travel to see where the best spots to see the total eclipse are.
And it's really right here, isn't it?
It's right here. Yeah, and Kansas City will actually be in part of the path as well. And Los Angeles won't be in it. New York won't be in it. It's cutting across from the northwest to the southeast. And we're in the thick of it. And we're right here I'm actually going to be going to Richmond, Missouri to be in the direct path as long as possible. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing. It hasn't happened in the United States like this in 100 years.
Yeah, and it won't happen again for another 90.
In 2024, there'll be another total eclipse, and it will cut from... It'll only be on the east side of the United States, coming from the south to north, and it cuts through Dallas. And then there will be another one in 2045 that cuts across very similar to this one. It's interesting, too, because the eclipse has happened in what's called the Saros cycle, and the Mayans knew about this thousands of years ago. They had this advanced knowledge of... these elliptical patterns that even now, I mean, with our computer technology, have just begun to master. And it's really sparked my interest in astrology the past 2 years. I've been very interested in studying the planets, because we don't learn that anymore in our school system, but it's always been a fundamental part of education, even in the 1800s.
And do you carry with that a spirituality?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think whenever... The cosmos is a large, unfathomable space, and I feel that whenever we look to the macrocosm and look at ourselves from an above point of view, I feel like that's the same. I feel like with any divinatory system, whether it be numerology or tarot or astrology, the purpose is to look from a higher state of consciousness and let your higher state guide you without fear and without... without fear, without any other anything else besides looking at your life from an above point of view, and that really guides. It can help guide you, knowing that you're part of something bigger. It's not just your experience. It's not everything is a lesson. Everything is a learning experience, and we're constantly being tested by the universe. And it's like, how willing are you to adapt and learn and move on from that?
Yeah, I love that. From that research and from that desire to learn more and sort of really inform yourself, you created Sola Noir. Mm-hmm. And you've got all these events that's happening in the Crossroads Arts District. Let's talk about some of them.
Well, it's not just me either. I'm partnering with Jason Harrington, who's Riff Raff Giraffe, and his wife Amy, Amy Amers, who runs Plenum Gallery and is a ceramic artist. And really, I had the vision to bring, I wanted to be together with my friends at the eclipse, in the path, and having some kind of spiritual retreat. And I wanted everyone to have their own special glasses. And when I came back, Jason was telling me about he wants to plan a mural fest. He just doesn't know what time to do it. And so it just came together. We were like, this is perfect. The eclipsing of two strong personalities who can get stuff done and have a strong connection in their respective art communities. And bringing that together eclipsing that to make this really big thing. Because I want people to get excited for the eclipse. It's a big deal.
So I know there's a number of people, as you mentioned, that are involved with this. Not only yourself, Laura Trees.
Yes, she's the fashion head.
Molly Balloons, Cheryl Eve Acosta, Studio A.
Those are all the fashion designers that are in the fashion show, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I also read that you have nearly 24 paintings or buildings that are primed and ready to be painted across the Crossroads Art District. So it's going to be the weekend leading up to the eclipse. Let's talk about that. Who are some of the participating muralists?
There is an artist named Registered Artist who's coming from out of town. There is one named Axilla. Alex Sinna is I believe he's the Brazilian artist and who just happened to be in the country at this time, so we were able to bring him in. Sebastian Coolidge, Riff Raff Giraffe, Sabretooth Thomas is a local artist, and he's actually painting today on Volpe's Bastille's front building in the Crossroads, which will be really cool. Madman Art is another artist who's in town, and they actually are starting on some murals right now. Most of the artists are getting in today and tonight, and starting their murals tomorrow.
Wow, that's terrific. So all the multiple artists are working on their murals across the Crossroads Arts District. And there's an interactive map on the website. Would you tell us what the website is?
Mm-hmm. The website's solanoir.com, S-O-L-A-N-O-I-R.com. And there's an amazing Google map that Amy made. And when you look on there, there's alien heads, there's flying saucers. Each of them indicate different things. One indicate buildings that have already been painted, the other that paintings that are primed. And then there's also an arts and craft beer crawl on Saturday. So there's different breweries and pubs where people can buy a pair of eclipse glasses, and we'll have artists there helping them decorate them, because I want everyone to have a special, unique pair that they've created.
I love that, because, again, that's Saturday, August 19th at 3 o'clock, and then it goes on until however it goes
on. Yeah, until we're out of glasses.
Yeah, or beer. Yeah. Drink beer, decorate your own eclipse glasses. 220 certified viewers available, mm-hmm. and solanoir.com for more information. So that's the arts and beer craft.
And I heard they're sold out of eclipse glasses in the whole city. I mean, Union Station were selling them, and they're sold out, and they're trying to get, they sold 30,000 pairs.
Well, I think I got the last two in Brookside. Now selling.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but I think you have to be very careful, because I know there's been
bad ones out
bad there. Glasses, and you sure don't want to mess with your eyes.
And that's the with this eclipse, that's always a general thing that happens with any eclipse, because as the moon passes in front of the sun, it won't hurt to look at it. You'll be able to look at it directly. Mm-hmm. It won't be blinding, but your retinas don't have pain sensors, and so you can be causing irreparable eye damage, and you won't feel it until you have a blind spot.
Well, I know a lot of people say that don't have their glasses, you know, and not that they're bad sports or anything, but some people are just going to not take any chances and watch it on television.
Yeah.
And that's okay, too. You know, we're not going to judge.
And there's other cool things. There's other cool effects that the eclipse will bring. Like when it's in totality, and if you're in totality, you can actually watch the totality part with the naked eye. And the stars should be visible in the sky as well, so you'll see it go dark. The other cool thing is through leaves of trees, it casts these pinhole-shaped shadows. And so you'll see these little it'll look like a bunch of mini eclipses, these little rings of the shadows that almost look like snakes dancing on the ground.
I was just reading about that, the shadow snakes.
Yeah. So that'll be a cool effect to see. And you can also make a pinhole camera yourself. It's super easy. You just take two pieces of card stock, and you punch a small hole, and with another paper behind it, kind of like a magnifying glass, you can see the specific shadow and getting slowly eclipsed. So you'll be able to see your own little shadow snake. You can make that yourself if you don't have glasses.
Well, I'm interested in not only at my response to the eclipse, but also I'm going to be watching Winnie Belladonna and Trudy Pickles closely, my dogs, and then my other cats. But because, you know, they say that it's going to sort of freak out these animals.
Yeah.
So
definitely. Nature kind of takes a standstill, because it's like night comes suddenly. The Mayans called it, I think the word chichabul, but it means the moon shall eat the sun.
Yeah.
And so that was a really cool inspiration for that. But people, you know, a lot of people, the priests would, the reason they were so into astrology was to learn when they could determine when the eclipses would happen. So when it came and came suddenly and people weren't expecting it, people freaked out, and they thought, you know, they thought a dragon was eating the sun. They thought the sun would never come back. It's, you know, nature, it's unusual for nature. They don't expect it.
Well, my mother told me a story, and I think I may have alluded to it another time, that there were a number of pregnant women in our family that were pregnant during the last eclipse, or back in the 50s. And my grandmother had each of the pregnant women put a chain of safety pins across their bellies to protect the baby. That way, they would not be born with that bite out of the baby, like the Aztecs thought the moon had been taken a bite out of. So, does that make sense?
Yeah,
so,
totally.
So, that was to protect that baby, from a cleft lip as well.
Yeah.
You know, so there's very interesting beliefs about that. You know, Mark, we haven't even talked about faces. Can we talk about that?
Yes. Yeah. So Kat Moss is a collaborator that I've been working with for the past 4 or 5 years now. And she's a model and an actress, and we've done a lot of photography together. Just started doing a short film together with an amazing cinematographer named Morgan Cooper. And she's an artist as well, and this will be her first art show. She's been drawing faces for quite a while, and this was kind of the impetus. We wanted to have a show where she does some works on canvas, and we've done some collaborative pieces and a lot of my new paintings as well that I have, and an exhibit that is also on my birthday and also coincides with Solo Noir. Behind Volpe's Bastille, there's what's called Art Alley. And that's also where some of the street artists are going to be making small pieces at that same time, too. So it'll be a block party, pretty much.
Terrific. And what is the address on that?
1737 Locust. Okay. It's right across the street from Grinders in Damast.
Oh, good. Okay, great. You also have the fashion show that's taking place Friday, August 18th at the Gown Gallery. Can we talk about that quickly?
Yeah, it's a fashion exhibit. We wanted to steer away from the fashion show, which always has a lot of egoism and drama and the front who gets a front row seat and all this. And we wanted to showcase the amazing designers that we have in the city, like top of the line international artists, and showcasing them on live models where people can actually walk through the exhibit like an art show.
Great.
And we can see the live models. You can get up and close and personal. The models will be posing but moving every so often. It's going to be great for pictures. And you get to meet the designers, get to talk with them firsthand about their creations. And they'll have a little boutique where they're selling some of their stuff as well. And Molly Balloon's going to be participating, and she's such a fantastic entertainer. And she makes some really cool fashion pieces with her balloons as well.
Why would anyone want to go anywhere else? It's all happening
in the Crossroads.
In the Crossroads Arts District. So, SoloNoir.com is the website for more information, maps. I mean, there's something going on constantly until we get rid of this eclipse thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, thank you, Mark Allen, for coming on.
I have a surprise announcement. Surprise announcement. Next year, and I have to sign up by April, so I still have time. But next year, I will be starting my campaign for mayor of Kansas City.
I love that. Congratulations.
So that's really terrific. Pushing for the arts, especially everything that's going on, really, really pushing this wonderful arts revival and renaissance that's happening in a conscious way, and also making sure that the construction and all this stuff that's happening, being very conscious about gentrification and making sure that our most vulnerable citizens aren't pushed out in the process.
Mm-hmm. Trivialized. Yeah, you heard it right here.
You heard it right here, my first announcement.
Terrific. Great. I live in Independence, but, you know.
Yeah. We all
live
work
somewhere.
In Kansas City, so it affects all of us.
Bless
Thank
your
you so
heart.
Much, Maria. I love always being on your show.
Well, come back anytime, but I do want those Uno cards back. We love you, Mark Allen. We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. Terrific. Wow, we just heard some exciting news here on ArtSpeak Radio. Maria Vasquez Boyd here as Mark Allen announced his candidacy for mayor next year. Yeah? Terrific. Thank you. You heard it first here on ArtSpeak Radio. Next up, we have Julia Valdivia, who's the owner of Casey Conjure Shop, purveyors of Providence, Good Luck, readings, custom spiritual work, classes, conjure supplies, candles, oils, waters, and more, located at 1620 Locust Street, Suite 400, Kansas City, Missouri. Welcome, my friend Julia Fadivia.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah, you know what? I'm really excited to have you on the show because, you know, I know you were sort of reluctant, like, what are we going to talk about? Well, we're going to talk about all of that you offer at your store and more. So let's get started. When someone walks into your shop, what are they met with? What do they see? Why are they there?
Well, typically people don't come into my store in a good mood. They usually have an issue. And I try to sort through with them with practical solutions and magical solutions. Mm-hmm. So when they come into the store, they usually are presenting a problem. And like I said, we try to find practical ways first, and mm-hmm. then we work with the spiritual side mm-hmm. as well. So they kind of look at me as a spiritual advisor and bring me a lot of problems.
Yeah, well, because as I mentioned, we were talking in the green room about voodoo and hoodoo and all of that, and wanting to sort of dispel some myths that people have about, you know, the religion.
Okay, yeah. So voodoo, the mere word of it conjures up imagery of devil worshiping and baby killing and sex
those
and orgies
1950s
and all
movies.
Things, right?
Yeah.
And poking pins and voodoo dolls. Yeah. And that's not what we're about. When we initiate into voodoo, we take vows to help our community mm-hmm. and to do good in our community.
Yeah.
And that's what I do, is constantly dispelling that myth when people come in with preconceived ideas of what it is.
Yeah, because you really want to educate people and shake them loose of what they think it is. Yeah,
and I usually tell them, take everything that you ever understood voodoo to be out of your head mm-hmm. and let me tell you what it really is.
Yeah, and so tell us again.
So the best way I can describe voodoo, it is monotheistic, and we do believe in God. We believe in one God, and then we have the Loa, which we go to. And the best way I could describe that, which Catholics can really probably understand, is saint veneration. So we believe that God is so far from humanity that he does not dwell in our daily lives, so we turn to our own ancestors in the Loa to help us get through issues, and you know, they, and we go to them to dwell in our daily lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, your shop is very, it's really interesting. If you just happen to wander in there, I mean, obviously you, it is a destination, you know, you're seeking something, but if you just happen to be there, it's just really beautiful, you know, the smells, yeah. the color, the textures. I know for the first time, I was there, was at an event nearby, and I just wandered upon it, and it was just very interesting to me, you know, what you had to offer. Now, you in the introduction, you have custom spiritual work and readings and all of that. Mm-hmm. What can you tell our audience?
Well, we do spiritual readings. I don't read Tarot. I don't get it. So I read a system called the Lenormand system. Is a French system. Other spiritual work we do would be setting of lights. That's very popular. And that, what that is similar to setting a prayer and intention, like when mm-hmm. you go to church and you light a candle. And so we do a lot of that. Or I'll make custom candles for people to take home to burn in their own homes. We make New Orleans-style Grigri. Do travel to New Orleans a lot, so I pick up a lot of that there.
Mm-hmm.
mojo bags, just all sorts of things. I make voodoo pwen when needed.
Mm-hmm. How did you arrive of that yourself? I mean, what was your trip?
She's like, I get asked that question all the time, and it's a very long story, so I'll try to condense it. I was Catholic, you know, I've been Catholic forever, and started having some odd dreams, didn't understand them. Happened to have a cousin that lived in New Orleans, mm-hmm. and was talking to her on the phone one day, and she's like, oh, you need to talk to my friend Sally Ann Glassman about this. And I'm like, okay, I don't know who this is. So I call her up, tell her about my dreams. She's like, oh, Papa Langley, he's opening the door for you if you'd like to step through.
Oh, wow.
And so I ended up going to a voodoo ceremony. Mm-hmm. It mm-hmm. really resonated with me when the drum started playing, and couldn't pull myself away from it. And I said, this is my path.
I love that. I love that. If you've just tuned in, I'm talking to Julia Valdivia, who's the owner of KC Conjure Shop. KCConjure.com is the website. They're located at 1620 Locust Street, Suite 400 here in Kansas City, Missouri. You know, we also talked about some of the art, which you were reluctant to call art, but talking about some of the boxes that you make and the flags, can we share that with our listeners?
I like to call it voodoo crafting. But I like to make devotional boxes to certain voodoo spirits. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I will make them to saints or whatnot. It's just kind of like a mini altar. It's kind of a piece of art, but it's actually you know, workable. You can serve spirits, you know, with these boxes, mm-hmm. just mini altars. I also make voodoo flags, which are called drapo. They are used in ceremony. I like making them just to make them. Some people do hang them on their walls, their altars or whatnot as artwork.
Yeah.
And we brought that tradition from my grandfather in voodoo, Edgar Jean Louise, who's a very famous Haitian voodoo flag maker.
You know, I want to ask you, do you have some images on your website, or is it sort of like, don't want to really kind of share that?
I have to
that.
Be very careful with what I put on the website because of the... Well, because of the website that I use, there's much, much more in the store than there is on the website. On my Facebook page, or the store's Facebook page, you can find imagery there.
Are you on Instagram? Or
I am on Instagram, Casey_Conjure. You could find imagery there, too.
Well, as far as the boxes that you create, can you give us a sample of the things you might put in that for...
So for a client, for a client? Okay, so the most simplest one, a lot of people are familiar with Papa Legba. He's the one that sits at the gate. We would compare him to St. Peter, who sits at the gate. He opens the door of the spirit world. What I might put in there for him is very simple. He doesn't require a lot. Maybe some pennies, a pipe, perhaps, a small cane, and maybe an image of St. Lazarus or St. Peter. So what people would give to him, or maybe just small libations of rum or water or whatnot.
I'd take that. Well, you know, and we also, you know, I have to ask you, with the coming eclipse, Are people finding you to I don't know, maybe gain some sort of spiritual release, or
they are so
fears,
with the eclipse? The thought is that there's a lot of power and magic behind that. Mark talked a little bit about that. My thoughts are on it as the sun is starting to peek back from the moon, is a burst of energy and a burst to the magic that you want to do. So yes, people have been coming in. And I've got several kits there to help them with whatever it is they're trying to work with, whether it's their self or to bring about, you know, changes within themselves or within their lives.
It's an auspicious day for change, isn't it?
It is.
It really is. So, again, tell us where you're located and your website.
So I'm in the East Crossroads, our district at 1620 Locust, Suite 400.
4 years?
I've been there for about a year and a half. I used to be in Westport, but I moved up to the Crossroads.
Is there anything that I left out that you wanted to mention that you want our listeners to know?
So if anybody needs to get a hold of me for any kind of spiritual service or advice, or want to learn more about what voodoo really is,
they
can absolutely either visit the website, caseyconjure.com, or give us a call at 816-756-5551, or just stop by if they're in the neighborhood.
Now, you're sort of in that Crossroads festival-ish that Mark had talked about?
Yes.
Will you be participating in any of those?
I'm very excited about it because he's got an artist doing the building that I'm in, and I'm really excited to meet him tomorrow, hopefully.
Oh, very good. Well, thank you so much for coming in today, Julia.
Thank you for having me.
We love you. All right. We're going to say thank you to Elaine McMillan, Julie Valdivia, Mark Allen. Next week, we've got Joy Baker and Summer Osborne in the studio. Also, Samantha Slupsky and Catherine Husk. Stay tuned for Jazz Afternoon. It's not going to be Jeff. He's not here. But we've got the wonderful and talented Roger, the jazz geek. I couldn't remember his last name. So anyway, thank you so much for tuning in. You're welcome. And happy birthday to Mark Allen. And honey, I'm coming home.